This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Now, live from the Malamut & Associates Law Studios, the revolution will be broadcast. Yes. This is the next generation of talk. Now, the Rich Cioli Show podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
In your moment of pandering today, your great moment of pandering, the award goes to West Virginia Senator Joe Manchin, who said today there'll be no federal funds for soccer until there's equal pay for men and women. So I have another idea. How about no federal funds for soccer? Just period. That's my idea. Just no federal funds for soccer. That's my bill. Welcome to the show. Good morning. Happy hump day. It's 5:36. Of course, later, if you're listening on podcast, this is the Cioli Show, and I'm Rich, and glad you're here on Twitter at Rich Cioli, Facebook.com/Cioli Show. We're very happy to have you today. Yes, Senator Joe Manchin, he is the last Democrat from a different generation of Democrats. But you know what? Every now and then, you got to do something to remind everybody you're still woke. See, Manchin's down in West Virginia. You know, it's cold country down there. And also, West Virginia is a very unique place for a lot of reasons. It's a red state, essentially, and he's a Democrat. It's a huge Trump state. And he's a Democrat because West Virginia has always been a state that crosses on the ballot. So they'll vote Democrat, Republican. And Manchin has done some things that have made a lot of sense because he's voted with some of Trump's appointees. He's also been a staunch defender of coal, as he should be since he's in West Virginia. But to remind people that he's still woke, he's got to do something stupid like this. So what he did yesterday was he announced a bill which would prevent any and all federal funding for the 2026 World Cup, the men's tournament that the U.S. is scheduled to host, unless the U.S. Soccer Federation agrees to pay its men's and women's teams equally. Now, I'll get into the pay thing and why it's such much more complicated than anybody's letting on to, because it's about collective bargaining and there's two different collective bargaining units and that sort of thing. But leave that aside for a second. Leave it all aside. Why the hell are my tax dollars subsidizing the World Cup in any way, shape, or form, or any sporting event for that matter? Why am I doing this? Why do I have to pay for the World Cup? And you know what? I asked this question on Twitter last night, and some snarky brunch goer writes back, "Ah, yes. Let's lose out on the opportunities and blah, 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 blah by not putting up some federal money." Hey, you know what? If all these great opportunities are going to be there in the private sector, why do we need any federal funds to host a soccer competition? If soccer is such a huge sport around the world, I imagine it's going to be just fine. People will come in by themselves and they'll take care of it. What do we have to pay money for? Now, I understand there's security issues and things like that. Great. The World Cup can reimburse us for whatever it takes to put that show on. This notion of government having to get behind sporting events, stadiums, and all this other stuff, it's such a joke to me. But now, that aside, think of what Manchin's saying now. He says the following, quote, "You thought I wasn't woke, but I am. The clear inequitable pay between the U.S. men and women's soccer teams is unacceptable, and I'm glad the U.S. women's soccer team's latest victory is causing public outcry. I'm encouraging everyone to call their senator and representative to help us get this bill passed and finally pay the equitable pay they deserve." Now, imagine this for a second now. Imagine if the federal government said, we are saying now no federal funds for this industry unless there's equal pay. So there'll be no federal grants, no federal loans, nothing until there's equal pay. But how do you measure that? What is the measure of equal pay? How do you do that? Say you have a CEO of a company who's a man, and then the executive vice president's a woman. She's not making as much as the CEO, but a woman CEO is making a whole lot more than the male executive assistant whom she might have. How does that work? Why does government get to come in here and say, we're going to level the playing field for you? Now, it shouldn't, and it's stupid, but of course now, once again, this is how modern, old-school, blue-dog Democrats like Manchin have to prove they still belong in the Democrat Party of today by saying, we got to change this. Now, as for the pay issue, Rich Lowry at National Review had a great point on this. The U.S. women are winners, not victims, and he says that this is a great example here of where it's a complicated issue that's turned into a little soundbite that everybody's running with. He says, not to take anything away from the women's achievement, they never trail the entire tournament. The equal pay complaint is entirely bunk. It's true that American women who sweat and practice as much as their male compatriots, perhaps more, don't make as much. But the women's game isn't as popular or profitable, which fundamentally drives pay. The total prize money for the Women's World Cup was $30 million, with the champion taking away $4 million. The total prize money for the men's 2018 World Cup was $400 million, with the champions winning $38 million. I had a conversation last night with my wife. We were talking about this. And I said, why do you think that female athletes get paid less than male athletes? And at first it was, she kind of, I don't know, is it sexism? Is it this? Is that? I said, well, ask yourself, who goes to the games? Who goes to the games? More men, more people are going to see men play. It's the same thing with women's basketball. You know, when I was at Maryland, I know, you know, I went there to get tickets to see the Terps, especially when they were on this major streak and they were doing great, was very difficult. People would camp out overnight to get tickets to see the Terps. But if you wanted to go see the women play, that was much easier. And by easier, I mean you could walk in during the game and sit anywhere you wanted. It's just the way it is. Just the way it was. Nobody was camping out to see the women Terps. Now, they're a great basketball team, and they've been champions, and they do better than the men. They do better than the men's team in the last few years. And they're great. I never went to see a game. And it's not because I'm sexist. I just didn't care enough to go see a game. I didn't. And I'm not going to pretend like I did. I'm not going to say I was woke and went to women's basketball games. You know what? Nobody else did either. It's why you could walk in to Cole Fieldhouse in the middle of the game and get a seat anywhere you wanted. That's the fact. And it's the same thing here with the World Cup. People go to watch men play. It's just like, look, I don't want to pretend that we live in this world where everything needs to be righted because there's wrong. Sometimes things are just unfair. Sometimes life's unfair. Sometimes people want to go see. The actors in the Avengers Endgame deserve all the money that they made. And you know what? I hope Scarlett Johansson made as much as the guy who played Captain America, Chris Evans. I hope she did, because they all deserved it. They crushed it. But if you're in some artsy Hollywood movie that 200 people go to see, you don't deserve the same amount of money, whether you're a man or you're a woman. This is driven by market factors. I think it's pretty obvious. But there's another point here, too. If you take into account completely different viewership and revenue from the two events, FIFA raked in more than $6 billion from the 2018 Men's World Cup. The Women's World Cup has been projected, when all is said and done, to make about $130 million. Right? So the Men's World Cup brought in $6 billion. And the Women's World, $130 million. Now, $130 million is nothing to shake a stick at, but I'm no math guy. $6 billion is more. It's a lot more. It's like double. More than double. It's significantly more than double. The women's tournament this year may have had about 1 billion viewers across all platforms, but the 2018 Men's World Cup had more than 1 billion viewers just for the final game. And it also says here now that the U.S. women's team has been generating more game revenue than the U.S. men the past couple of years. That is telling, although not quite in the way that those who allege pay discrimination think. The women are celebrities and cultural heroes, winners of 4 Olympic gold medals and World Cups. The men are nobodies who failed to qualify for last year's World Cup. Yet, from 2016 to 2018, according to the Wall Street Journal, the women barely out-earned the men, 50.8 million to 49.9 million. The lawsuit's explanation for a smaller audience for the women's team is what it calls manufactured revenue depression, a deliberate effort to squelch the women's reach and undercut their ticket prices. And there's another aspect to this, too, which is collective bargaining units. They have 2 different collective bargaining agreements. The men and women have 2 different collective bargaining agreements and different World Cup hoops to jump through. And as I was driving over here today, I heard on KYW, they talked to a guy from the Philadelphia Union who said, we negotiate differently. And he goes, I agree, there should be equal pay. But how do you get there? How do you do that? By way of comparison, the worst of the men's Major League Soccer teams, the Chicago Fire, average 11,417 people. The best attended game, the Atlanta United, has drawn roughly 70,000 people for 4 home games this season. About the total of all the women's games so far. The National Women's Soccer League has 2 strong teams that average more than 10,000 fans a game, but the other 7 teams in the league average fewer than 5,000. Sky Blue, based in Piscataway, New Jersey, averages 1,400 100 people. So this is kind of how the world works. You know, people want to come see and pay and see you. You know, it works. It works for you. But Joe Manchin, the real story here is Joe Manchin's got to pander because the Democrat Party has gone so far left, and he's one of the last blue dog Democrats. He's got to prove his wokiness. I hope you're awake. Not woke, but awake. Stay awake and woke.
Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.